The following is general advice only and should not be construed as accounting, legal, or any other professional advice. The details of your situation are fact-dependent, and you are advised to seek the help of a competent professional. What's happening? Welcome to CPA Reviewed, the official podcast of another71.com. I am your humble host, Jeff Elliott. I am a licensed CPA in the state of Kansas. Today is Thursday, March 15th. Beware the Ides of March. I did not read one Shakespeare book in high school or college, but I did listen to... What is that? Merchant of Venice audio that they forced you to listen to in class. I pretty much skipped all of the assigned readings, but that might explain a lot. So, happy Thursday to you. We are on location from the Another 71 compound. So, it's mid-March, and like I said, I'm from Kansas, and... I recently moved from the city. I'm a suburban kid, and we recently moved out into the country. So far out in the country that I literally cannot get broadband internet at my house. So my options are. Satellite internet, which I didn't want to do because it's slow and 2-year commitment and all that. So I'm here we are in 2012, and I'm using a hotspot to drive my internet connection. So anyway, the reason why I bring that up is because it's mid-March and it's like 80. it's supposed to be like 55 to 60. So, darn you people in your SUVs warming up the country. Darn you people in your charcoal grills. Darn you cows and your... Anyway. So the windows are open and the birds are chirping. So I don't know if it'll get picked up on the podcast. Well... See, a lot has happened since the last podcast. I kind of took a bit of a hiatus because when I work on a project, I will sit down and work on it, and then I'm kind of like the dog from Up. I'm like, squirrel! And I'll run and do something else. Like, oh, what's going on in the forum? Oh, I bet I have some emails. I need to... see what's on the Drudge Report. So I knocked out my auditing audio. Gosh, it was probably 5 to 6 weeks ago. And I jumped into tax. And as boring as tax is to study, it's equally as boring to write out an audio program narrative. that's tax. So I feel like writing a term paper. And the reason why on my Ninja Assassin audios, the reason why I take the time to write up the narrative is because there is a certain way to learn through an audio program. And if someone's presentation is kind of off the cuff, yes, they know the information, but they haven't planned out what they're going to say. Yes, they know how to explain a like-kind exchange, but it takes them 15 minutes to go through an example off the cuff, whereas it would have only taken 5 minutes if they would have prepared. So it just tripled the amount of time to explain a like-kind exchange. It took 15, only it should have taken 5. And it's maddening. And it just does not serve the listener well. So I'm a huge fan of Audible.com and audiobooks. That's how I do most of my learning. I'm not a reader. I don't sit down and read. I would like to, but I just can't sit still. So when I'm driving, I am guilty of listening to talk radio and sports radio and all that. But when I'm intentional about my time, I will listen to an audiobook like Good to Great or something from Seth Godin, or I finished the Steve Jobs biography in 2 weeks. That's like a 1,000-page book or something. So I planned out what I was going to say. I used concrete examples to explain abstract concepts. And this week I released the regulation tax audio, and the feedback has already been really well. The longest chapter is the first one, and that is individual tax, and it comes in at just under an hour. The entire thing is 2.5 hours, and individual tax takes up an hour. So, the feedback has been great. If you need an audio course for either auditing or regulation, I'm actually wrapping up the professional responsibilities and ethics this week, and I'm going to jump in and record that. And then I'll move on to financial and BEC. So if you want what I believe is a really useful audio course, trust me, I'm not out to make garbage. That serves no one. And the listener can tell if you sold them garbage, and they'll want their money back. And then they'll tell everyone else that you sold them garbage. And so it doesn't bode well for long-term strategery. And so if you can stand the sound of my voice, then you should pick up my audio. If you can't stand the sound of my voice, well, hey, I'm an acquired taste, I guess. But one thing that is compared to the podcast to the audio, one thing that is absent is the uhs and ums and ehs and ehs. So, all right. On today's show, enough marketing of my goods. Today's show, we're going to knock out some questions. I have a long list of people who have sent questions to Ask Jeff, and you can ask Jeff. You go to another71.com, click in the upper right-hand corner, Ask Jeff, and your question will be in a hopefully soon edition of the podcast. So here we go. Jeff says, "Hey, I've invested a lot of time and energy into passing, and my wife and daughter have shared the sacrifices along the way. Now that I've passed, I was initially elated, and now I feel somehow depressed or something. My emotions are all over the place, and this confuses me. Suddenly, I don't know what to do with my time. I don't know what to feel. I don't know what to think. It's like I can't connect with the reality that I've really passed. I somehow feel a bit sad and uncertain, and I don't know what all this means. This should be the happiest moment of my life. One of them, anyway. Any advice?" Jeff, you just articulated what I personally felt after I passed the exam. I don't know. Studying and getting up at 5 a.m. to study junk that you'll never use ever again. Oh, wait, was I supposed to say that? No, I mean, of course, that's generalizing it. But, I mean, if you're a tax accountant and you've never done an audit and you will never do an audit, I guess maybe a better example would be, because you might move over to audit, that's feasible. But a better example might be governmental accounting. I don't think you could pay me to be a governmental accountant. I'm not sure I would do it for $200,000 a year. Some of you who are governmental accountants or who do governmental accounting and you're making like a fourth of that, you're like hating me right now. No. God bless you if you're a governmental accountant, but I could not, because it's just not my deal. So I know I would never want to do governmental accounting or I would never want to, excuse me, I would never want to audit a governmental agency. So, or a not-for-profit. And so, if I had to choose between digging ditches and doing that, I would probably pick up a shovel. So, that's just me, though. So, when you're in study mode, you're in learning mode, your brain's like, ah! You know, it's on fire, you're absorbing all this information. Then you pass the CPA exam. And your brain's like, what's next? What's next? What's next? What's next? And you're like, oh, nothing. We're going to watch TV now. Really? Do we really need to watch Office reruns on TBS? Didn't we see it? Didn't we see episode 5 from season 2? Haven't we already seen that 10 times already? Well, so the solution is... Well, you can't just jump into something else because I don't think your wife and kids would support that. They need some time. That's just reality. That's just being a good spouse, husband, father, wife, mother. But that doesn't mean that you have to shut your brain off and just become another lump on the couch on a Thursday night. What you can do is do exactly what I explained, what I was talking about before. You can get an Audible.com account and I've heard Dave Ramsey say, and I'm paraphrasing, the difference between you now and 10 years from now are the people you meet and the books you read. The difference between you now and 10 years from now are the people you read, the people you read, the books you read, and the people you meet. So people that come into your life through jobs or church or just your neighbors or whatever, people that you meet who influence you, who shape you, the books you read, who... change your perspective about business, finance, economics, politics, God. Yeah, I can say God and Jesus because it's my show. So what you need to do is figure out something like start listening to business books. Or if you're not an audio learner, start reading. Make it a goal to read. Start out small. Make it a goal to read a book a month or a book every 6 weeks, whatever. Just start reading. Should you jump in and get an MBA or something after the CPA exam? I mean, that's probably the lazy way to do it because it's easy just to sign up for classes and just show up and just watch a projector for 3 hours. Every Tuesday and Thursday night. Ugh. Plus, it's expensive. What's your ROI on getting an MBA when you already have a CPA? I don't know. You'll have to decide that. Is it worth spending 15 to 20 grand? And then, of course, the sky's the limit for an MBA. Maybe 10, 15, 20 grand. You're just average down the street university who offers executive nighttime MBAs. Maybe you take 6 months off. Read some books, and then jump into like the CMA. Get some more certifications to further distinguish yourself from your peers. So, Jeff, that is normal, and you are not alone. I'm sure there's other people like that. If not, I was definitely like that, and I understand. Saeed says, I have two questions, namely, number one, my dearly held BEC credit is going to expire at the end of May. I don't know whether I have to pass or sit for my last section before that date. Second question is about your Ninja Notes and how can I integrate into my CPA review course and also the Wiley Test Bank you're offering. The answer to your first question is You need to sit for the exam that you have left. Sit for that exam before the expiration date. It doesn't matter if you get your score in June or December or the December after that. As long as you physically sat down and took the exam before your expiration date. That's what matters. Second question, how do you integrate the Ninja Notes? I've heard people say different things. Some people load them onto their smartphone, like their iPhone. The Ninja Notes do work on an iPhone, an iPad, pretty much anything they can read a PDF. They read them on the train. One lady said she reads it in the grocery line, which is kind of funny. If you're not, so they're completely portable. If you are a note taker, then I would continue to take notes and then use the DigiNotes to review, kind of like as a cram. If you hate taking notes, print out the Ninja Notes and match up the topic with your review course. And whatever I don't say, or if your instructor says something that is not a bullet point in the Ninja Notes, write it in the margins. And I definitely recommend reading the Ninja Notes several times before the week leading up to your exam, and definitely the night before your exam. As far as the test bank falls into the Wiley test bank, which I sell, falls into the NIN of Ninja, nonstop multiple choice questions. You've nailed the videos, you've taken intense notes, then you're working multiple choice questions and you're taking notes over those multiple choice questions. So you work the Wiley test bank questions, you get a question wrong, why, click the answer explanation, write it down, move on. So that's how you nail out the NIN. And then the NINJA, the A in Ninja, it all comes together. The week before your exam, start working multiple choice questions in the Wiley test bank. Start with your weakest area first. So let's say you're taking financial and your weakest area is governmental accounting. Start with your weakest area first and work backwards from weakest to strongest. So you start doing 20 governmental accounting questions and you score a 60. Well, and along the way, you're reading the answer explanations. So you score 60, so do 20 more. Then you score 70, do 20 more. You score an 80, move on. And of course, that's in the final review area. I mean, that's when you're reviewing during that final week. So that's how you do it. I hope that helps. AP says, I've heard there's a lot of changes for 2012. Any suggestions on some final review or cram courses? Well, if your exam materials are updated as of July 2011, you don't necessarily need to get a new course. Should you go out and buy some cram video or something? You can. They're expensive, though. They're like $300 on average, probably. A better alternative, more cost-effective alternative would be to get the Ninja Notes. They are very affordable, and I am very biased. Jeff, you always recommend your own stuff. Of course I do. And they also work. And I have pages and pages of testimonials. Trust me, when I get emails for people who passed with the Ninjas, I save every one of them. Those are gold, baby. Especially the ones where they only passed using the Ninja Notes and the Wiley test bank. Those are awesome. But so it's up to you. Hope that helps. Allison says, I took my most recent auditing exam in February. I'm a full-time tax accountant and right in the middle of tax season. However, I'm considering taking auditing again around April 23rd so that audit is fresh on my mind. I'm ready to change my study material. What would you suggest I use to help me get those 5 points I'm desperately wanting? I am prepared to work hard and realize this next month is going to be torture, but I'm very determined to finish my exam. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Well, you scored a 70 on auditing. So, first point is you're not 5 points away anymore. You're 75 points away. If you went in there and took the exam today, you would not score a 70. You would score a 60. I mean, just without studying is my point. So whatever you did, you need to repeat that. So if you went through your review course, go through it again. Don't cut corners. Do the same thing. Yes, you need to take notes again. Yes, you need to work all the multiple choice questions again. So now, assuming that's your first 70, then use the same course. If it's not your first 70, if that's like your fourth 70, then go to the another71.com forum and say, hey guys, what did you use to pass auditing? I need a new course, because I think you do need a new course. If you've only taken auditing once or twice, get, and for those of you who hate when I plug my own stuff, earmuffs, use the Ninja auditing notes. You got the Ninja flashcards, the Ninja audio, which I think is pretty good. People have said it's good. And also, you need to, like, if you're using a course that does not use the Wiley Test Bank, you've probably seen your multiple choice questions too many times and you've memorized them. You need to get like the Wiley Test Bank. So you could get a whole new course, which is like, what, $500, or you can get like the Wiley plus the entire Ninja stuff for what, $200, whatever it is. So something to consider. Nikia, I'm terrible with names, says, I wanted to know how long should I set aside to prepare for one part of the exam. I'm currently studying for the CFE. Is that Certified Fraud Examiner? CFE, and we'll be taking it at the end of the month. I'd like to sit for Reg in July. Is that enough time? I took it last year in April and scored a 66. So CFE is at the end of March. She wants to take Reg at the end of July. So that's April, June, April, May. Apparently there's a May in there. April, May, June, and July. Yeah, that's too much time. Okay, you take the CFE at the end of April. You take 2 weeks off just to let your brain refresh. So that's mid-April. So mid-April to mid-May to mid-June is like 8 weeks. And so then if you take it at the beginning of July, that's like 10 weeks. That's too long. So maybe you don't, maybe you jump into Reg right away and you take Reg not at the end of July, but at the end of May. 8 weeks. Get the Ninja Study Planner. Go to another71.com. Click, what is it, free stuff. Get the Ninja Study Planner. It'll help you map out your 8 weeks. But I would not spend more than 8 weeks because there is a significant short-term memory component to the CPA exam. And if you drag it out like 10, 12 weeks, I mean, you're just going to forget. Like, if you study individual tax in week one, by week eight, you don't remember just the stuff that you covered in individual tax. So, Tim says, I've taken BEC twice, the 67 and the 73. I have scheduled Reg at the end of May. I want to take BEC again the first week in April. I haven't started Reg yet. Do I have enough time to go through the Reg material? Should I take two exams in the first testing window? I have your Ninja notes and the Wiley books for BEC. Kindly advise me how to study for BEC. Totally confused. Well, you, as you know, we're really close with the 73. And as I said before, don't lull yourself into thinking that you're now 2 points away from the exam, because you're not. You need to replicate what you did to get the 73. Now, there is likely a conceptual hole in your understanding of some area of BEC. My guess is that maybe it's cost accounting or financial management, IT. Like, IT is what, 20%? Of the exam, something like that. And you said that you have the BEC Ninja notes for, yeah, the BEC Ninja notes. So the IT section there, I think, is very good. And one thing that I would recommend doing is the afternoon before your next exam. So replicate what you did the hour before, or the afternoon before your next exam. You said you have the Wiley book. Open the Wiley book. Do every single IT question in the Wiley book for BEC. So that's, what, 120 questions? Do every single one. Read the Ninja Notes over IT. Do every single IT question in the Wiley book. Read the answer explanations. And that's the, you know, that's like at 4 o'clock the afternoon before your next BEC exam. And I think that will send you into BEC turbocharged for IT, because I think people struggle with IT because it's hard to study for. It's not conceptual, and it's not stuff that you deal with every day. And, you know, what's a compiler? Who cares? Well, you have to. You have to care. So, but it's just something that you just have to memorize, cram it into your short-term memory, and just barf it out on exam day. So, anyway. So I hope that is helpful, Tim. Good luck on your next exam. Jelena writes, what changes are there for 2012? Well, there were not really hardly any changes for 2012. Maybe some little tax code tweaks. But, you know, if you have, I mean, for, in general, like I said before, if you have the July 2011 updates for your CPA review course, then you need to maybe get something supplemental for 2012, like the Ninja stuff, the Wiley Test Bank, something that's a major bang for your buck, that's affordable and very useful and up to date. You don't need to go buy this new $500 course for regulation. You can use what you already have, supplement it with the updated stuff, and so, but to answer your question, there really weren't any big changes for 2012. It's not like they added a section, they added something to it like they did for mid-year 2011. Let's see. Well, so like in financial, the FSAC 8 superseded number 2, which messes around with the accounting concepts area. There was, for BEC, there was the international internal auditing stuff, which goes into corporate governance. So that's new. I'm sure there's another this, that, and the other. But anyway, but for all intents and purposes, if you have July 2011 exam updates review for your review course, supplement it with something like I said, the Ninja, the Wiley stuff, you should be good to go. Rhonda says, I have a BS in accounting that I earned many, many years ago. I dropped out of the workplace to raise my family. I never thought I would return to a full-time job, so didn't even consider sitting for the exam. Things change, and I'm back in the workforce full time. Do you think the time that's lapsed since you earned your bachelor's degree has an impact on your success with the CPA exam? Rhonda, my quick answer is no. My long answer is when you go to college and you get an accounting degree, well, most accounting programs anyway, your bachelor's, they don't teach you how to pass the CPA exam. They really don't teach you much of anything outside of concepts. They don't teach you how to handle a trucking client who wants their taxes done. And they bring in a paper grocery bag full of greasy receipts and 11 bank statements and want you to make a financial statement out of it. So notice I said 11 bank statements and not 12. So yeah, they don't teach you how to do that. They don't teach you how to handle when your client walks in and has a GPS bracelet on their ankle because they're a convicted felon. Or maybe they weren't convicted yet, but they are the state or federal government strongly advised them to stay close. So the stuff that they don't prepare you for. They don't prepare you for the CPA exam, which is why any review course worth its salt should assume that you know the difference between a debit and a credit, and they can teach you from there. Okay? If you're paying a course the equivalent of a mortgage payment, then they better do some teaching. I will additionally say I get emails all the time from people in your situation who are tackling the CPA exam at a later age than your average candidate. There's many people out there, probably thousands of people out there just like you. So get a good review course and get her done. Ryan says, I passed BEC in regulation. My problem is that I can't pass auditing. I took it in November, scored a 69. Took it again in January, scored a 66. What should I do? Well, you passed BEC in regulation, so my guess is that you're using the same review course for auditing that you passed BEC in regulation. What is it about auditing that's different about BEC and regulation in regards to your study habits and your review course? Maybe your BEC or maybe your instructor for BEC spoke to you in a way that the instructor for auditing, a lot of times courses don't use the same instructors for different topics. Maybe you just don't like your auditing instructor, or maybe, you know, auditing is different than BEC and regulation. BEC and regulation are just facts and rules and computation. Auditing is pretty conceptual. You know, you have this foundation of knowledge, and then each question seems kind of subjective. It seems like there could be two answers, and so you have to choose the best answer. Auditing is different, and so it's not as straightforward. So what should you do? Well, maybe you need to switch review courses. Maybe not. Maybe you need to study differently. Maybe you need to study harder. Maybe not. But so either study differently or get a review course. And ask people on the forum, on the another71.com forum, what they use to pass auditing. I hope that's helpful. All of that to say, you passed BEC and regulation. You can pass auditing. You're smart. You know how to. Dumb people don't pass BEC and regulation. So, Pamela says, I downloaded the 50 things you must know about the CP exam 2011 edition. It's answered a lot of my questions. Are there changes between 2011 and 2012 exams? Not really. And I addressed this in a previous question today. As far as that 50 Things book, some of the things like when scores come out, that's all changed. The 50 Things book, I think, is, while helpful, not all of the information is still relevant. It's, is it relevant and reliable? It's somewhat relevant and somewhat reliable. Final question. Kelly says, I took all four parts of the exam in 2011, but did not pass. And I just missed the 50 credit hour rule by a few points. I feel so awful that I didn't pass. I'm having a hard time getting back into study routine because I'm discouraged. Do you have any pointers getting your confidence back? Well, you took all four parts of the exam in 2011. You didn't say how many exams. Actual exams that was, but let's just assume that was four. You know, maybe it was five, maybe it was six. Man, there's someone on the forum right now that's taken 30 exams. And you know what? They're still plugging along. They're not quitting. The easy thing is to quit. You know, anyone can quit. Anyone can fail an exam and quit. anyone can stand on the sidelines and mock someone who's failed 30 times. half the time that person hasn't even taken the CP exam. It's funny. The advent of the blog is responsible for many opinions being presented, including yours truly, right, wrong, or indifferent. But, you know, there's people out there who blog about the CPA exam and give candidates advice and who kind of make snide remarks about people who failed a bunch of times or whatever. They haven't even taken the exam. That's like, I mean, that's like the AP clerk in a hospital giving medical advice. Okay. Sure, you work around doctors in the sense that you walk through the cafeteria and maybe when you were in line picking up a Coke and some chips, you overheard someone talking about fibromyalgia. Well, guess what? You shouldn't be consulting patients on fibromyalgia. So anyway, so how do you get undiscouraged? Well, number one, many people have been where you are right now. Many people are working full-time. Many people have families. I don't know what your situation is, but people are making a go of it. They fail. They spent thousands of dollars on the review course. There's thousands of people, Kelly, just like you right now, who see their coworkers passing, their bosses asking if they passed. They fail with a 72, and they have to go in and do the walk of shame and say, "Hey, boss, it came up short. You know, this is the fifth time that you've said it to them." And so you're like, "Oh man, the boss thinks I'm stupid now. The coworkers, it's starting to become a joke. You know, my spouse is starting to become less supportive because money's already tight anyway. Oh man, another NTS. We could really use that extra $300 on diapers, honey. We don't need, I mean, you know, at some point we got to stop the bleeding here. Oh, honey, this year for Christmas, I don't want you to buy me anything. I want you to buy me a regulation review course. Can you wrap that up?" Or, "Sorry, kids, Christmas is going to be a little tight this year. Daddy hasn't passed his exam yet, but he's going to get a big raise when he passes." I mean, or your boss says, "Hey, if you don't pass this next time, you know, I really need to focus on work. And we have this big client engagement, and it's going to be 60, 70 hours a week. And I really want you focused, and I don't want you study during lunch breaks and stuff. I need you, okay?" I mean, there's just mountains of stress, and everyone's feeling it. And so all that to say, get back in there. You know, why do you want to be a CPA? Write it out. Why do I want to be a CPA? And if I come up short, what am I going to do to get back up, do it again? Am I going to let the AICPA beat me? Am I going to give up and regret it for the next 25 years, maybe for the rest of my life, that, you know what, I never passed the CPA exam. I really wish I would have. I really wish I wouldn't have quit after that 72. So, you know, I'm not going to throw a bunch of cliches out there, but stick with it, okay? And you can pass. I think like 80% of the people who start pass eventually. 50% of the people who walk in and take any given exam pass. There's no reason why you can't be on the bright side of that 50% the next time you take it. You need a good review course. You need to get pissed off and fired up. You need to get up early, sacrifice at lunch, study at night, study on the weekends. If your family schedule is not conducive to study on the weekends because you got a 3- and 5-year-old knocking at the door saying, "Mommy, mommy, I'm hungry. Can we play? Mommy, mommy, let's go for a bike ride." Then guess what? You need to study when they go to bed. You need to study when they're napping. You need to get up at 4 a.m. because you know they get up at 8 a.m. I mean, you got to get mad, get going, knock it out, and then get your life back. All right, well, that does it for this show edition of CP Reviewed. I hope it's been helpful. And as always, send your comments, questions to Ask Jeff. Go to another71.com. Click in the upper right-hand corner. You can also find me on Facebook, facebook.com/another71. The real reason why you should join me on Facebook is, like, I give away stuff. I give away Wiley Test Banks. I gave away, like, what, 5 Dave Ramsey Financial Peace Universities a few weeks ago. Just random. I said, hey, like this post, and boom, you're in the drawing. I just went out and bought 5 Financial Peace Universities. I just gave them away just because I can. So, all right, everyone, take care, and I'll talk to you soon.